the demand for that food delivery has created this whole new industry where you see people like Deliveroo and Uber Eats come into the market, where they basically are a mail delivery business. They don't cook the food. They just own the delivery riders, and they are the ones that you see riding up and down the city. They're the ones that are really employing the majority of people. And then the restaurants now that employ their own delivery drivers are looking at maybe switching over, because they can have the economy of scale, they can have the efficiency of the deliveries, and the restaurants don't have to manage the staff themselves.
Is that just along the lines of, say, a restaurant like in the inner city already has their own kind of like employed bike riders, but then just getting rid of that and reaching out to the bike riders of like Uber Eats or Deliveroo and being like, hey, why don't we do this? You're contracted to us and then you'll ride it out for us. Is that how it would work?
Yeah, exactly. So the Deliveroo guys and Uber Eats guys are pretty aggressively competing to sign up these sort of restaurants and get them on their platform. But for the restaurants, that's exactly it. They just want to have their brand and their menu on the platform. And then when an order comes through, they can prepare it. And then they just have to put it on the counter, and one of the delivery guys will come and pick it up, and that's all they have to worry about.
Enter Sprout Kitchen. So this is not necessarily just about the delivery. It's having kitchen space for people to rent out for their own means. Why did you think that was something that might work itself well into this market?
Well, based on my previous business, trying to do a food delivery business in multiple locations, we basically solved the problem of commercial kitchen space by using existing cafes and restaurants at nighttime. And that's how we managed to have three outlets in a suburb as opposed to just one. So from that experience, I knew that using existing kitchen space is a good way to flip the model of food delivery. So instead of having a fixed cost of rent that you're having to recoup every month, you actually have a variable cost where you're just paying for the space as you're using it. In that way, you can rent space for only the times that you're profitable. So Friday, Saturday, Sunday night. From that knowledge, and also seeing, as you mentioned, the explosion of the food delivery industry in Australia, it was a perfect opportunity to put a stop to Deliveroo and actually start aggregating that space and providing it to these businesses that are looking to expand.
What are these spaces? Where are they?
So at the moment, because we're focusing on the food delivery, they're obviously most popular in the evenings. So our core customer from the supply side is the cafes. So we look for really good quality cafes that have really good menus and good sized kitchens, but might be closed around 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So we will go then and sign them up and help them to utilize that space through till 11 or 12 o'clock at night, when someone traditionally wouldn't go and eat dinner there. But because of the delivery aspect, someone else can come in and have their brand on a Deliveroo or an Uber Eats platform, and they can then utilize that space.
When you go into this kitchen space, do you have access to everything that they have in the kitchen?
Yeah. So they provide all the equipment. You can use all the utensils, all the basics of a kitchen, like oil or cleaning products are all provided as well. And then you just get the keys and it's good to go.
How expensive is it?
Depends on the size of the kitchen and what sort of equipment they have. But it ranges from about $100 to $250 a day. And that's for about 8 hours.
And I guess they'd be benefiting from that too, not only just in terms of making a profit off of it, but I guess people seeing that the space is being used over the course of like the entire weekend.
Yeah, there's lots of benefits other than just the money. So obviously it's great for them, because by doing that, we can basically cover their rent or a majority of it, which is huge for a cafe, which is operating on really small margins. But what we can also do is, as you said, help with the security. So if there's someone in the kitchen space at nighttime, that's a benefit for them. You know, someone's there and managing the space.
This is kind of one initiative that's really found like a hole in a market here, which is now branching out in all these different things in the circular economy. You know, you've got like Airbnb, you've got Uber already. Now it's Uber Eats. More of these things are kind of becoming democratized.
Yeah, it's really around ownership. Like people now don't have to own anything. It's great.
But do you think, how sustainable do you think that system is?
In terms of long-term sustainability, I can actually see it forming, you know, a bit of a viral loop where the cafe owners, which at the moment are struggling, we can help them cover their costs so that they can then invest more money into their space, and then they can make better space. And then that space is more valuable to people to utilize. And so maybe instead of just using it at nighttime, it can be used in the early hours of the morning as well if you add some other equipment in there. So then that adds more money to the owner, and they can help to maintain and use better space. So it basically is reducing the number of, you know, mediocre spaces there are around, and really focusing on key places that can generate better revenue and better recover their costs. So from a perspective of existing business owners, I think it is helping them to maintain and sustain their business. For new businesses that are coming into the market, obviously it's a totally new solution, which means they don't have to buy more equipment. They don't have to pay for a fit out. So it's reducing the cost in terms of sustainability of equipment as well.
In terms of for you as Sprout Kitchens, you said there that you don't have ownership though. Is that a concern for you that you don't have this zone kind of like margined off to be like, this is our space and will always be our space?
No, I don't think so. I think we've got, you know, ambitions to be a global marketplace, and we basically just manage the transaction so we can just allow these people to connect when they haven't been able to connect before, whether it's because they don't have the time or whether they don't have the security and the trust. We're not really concerned about focusing on specific areas. We're more just concerned with connecting people and being the trusted brand and platform in that space.
I find what interests me as well is, how is it different for you being something that's kind of all over the place? How do you brand that as opposed to one specific business that is lodged in one area?
Yeah, I think for Sprout, it's more about the business-to-business side of things. So we are concerned with branding ourselves towards other cafes and restaurants so that they are aware of us and they know of our business. Our branding will not be very customer-focused, but the brands that are using our platform, their brand is everything because they don't have that retail shop front anymore. So that part of their identity is now taken out. So they have to build a really strong brand identity and online presence so that people can still connect with them even though there's no physical space.
What about for, I guess, business owners who are stuck in the old way of doing things? They've got their restaurant here. They're not necessarily looking to branch out, develop some sort of cooperation with these sort of initiatives like what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Do you think that they'd last if they don't kind of jump on this bandwagon?
It's funny because you'd expect it to be one end or the other. But what we've actually found talking to cafes and restaurants is it's the gap in the middle that businesses that we find are not interested or that potentially are going to fail. So the ones at the really low end of the market, say they're not very nice places, not very good location, the very bottom end are always interested in joining because they need the extra revenue. But also what we didn't expect was the ones at the top end as well, because they're usually run by really experienced business owners. They're really savvy in technology and business, and they can understand how this can help them solve the problem, which is utilizing their space. So it's actually the ones in the middle, which we find, are sort of mum and dad style businesses. And I think they are going to continue to struggle.
And why do you think that they are resistant to this idea?
I think it's something that's quite unique to Australia and other places like America, where we have this lifestyle design, this lifestyle business, where they basically want to come in and work 7 till 3 and then walk away. And that's basically their aim, is to pay themselves a wage. And I think that sort of lifestyle is the reason why they don't want to take on any other risk that could jeopardize that. And they don't really want any other money. That's just their job. So they're quite happy, content.
And that could have been, say, 20 years ago before we kind of entered in this digital proliferation era. Like, that could have been a sustainable model. And they, who knows now, maybe they'd still be able to do that. But do you think that it seems less likely that those sorts of businesses, that business lifestyle, is becoming a little harder to make sustainable?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, even, even back 20 years ago, the margins are still very small on that type of business. They're really looking to pay themselves as an employee of their own business. So just taking food delivery, for example, that's still only 2 or 3% of the market share at the moment. And as you said, we're seeing so many of these bike riders around. That percentage is only going to increase, which is obviously eating into the margins of these other restaurants. So I think it is, as these new models become more proliferant, it's going to be difficult.